In this special episode, we sit down with ReLoop CEO Clarissa Morosky to dive into the hard facts on beverage container litter. So let's get started with the big question. How big an issue is litter?
Well, it's enormous. And beverage containers like plastic bottles, aluminum cans, and glass bottles are consistently among the most littered items in the world. And they account for over half of all food and beverage packaging sold globally in terms of units. We're talking about 1.3 trillion of these containers sold every year. And in many regions, up to half of them, or even more, are never even properly collected. And that means hundreds of billions of bottles and cans ending up in our environment, our landfills, our incinerators, or worse, just dumped or scattered in nature.
And this report that we've released, it's quite chunky. There's a lot of detail in there. What's the biggest takeaway for you?
So I see this as a huge sort of evidence bundle, and the message couldn't be clearer now, that deposit systems work fast and they work highly effectively. Our global analysis shows that when a deposit return system is introduced, beverage container litter drops dramatically. On average, by 57%, and in some cases, over 70% within 1 or 2 years. And these are not projections or theoretical models or wishful thinking. This is now real world before and after data from places like Slovakia, Ireland, Netherlands, Australia, and several US states. It's the strongest evidence to date that deposit return systems are the most effective and immediate solution for tackling this specific waste problem.
And deposit return systems, DRS, it's been around for a while. So what's different just now?
It's true. Deposit systems are not new, but what's different today is the scale of the problem, but also the scale of the momentum for DRS. So for years, industry players, sort of the value chain of the beverage industry and the packaging industry, pushed back against DRS because they didn't want to manage the logistics and bear the costs of these systems. But that's changed now. And it's come because of rising pressure to meet recycling targets, for companies to secure clean recyclable materials to put back into their packaging, and to respond to the public demand for action. And many major beverage companies across both alcohol and non-alcohol sectors are now supporting DRS. And governments are moving too. For example, the European Union, representing about 500 million people, has mandated deposit return for plastic bottles and cans. And countries like Spain, Poland, the UK are all rolling out national systems in the next 2 and 3 years. So certainly the tide has turned.
So let's talk about the comparisons that have been made in this report between DRS jurisdictions and non-DRS jurisdictions. What's the sort of key standout for you?
Yeah, so there was two sets of data. The first was before and after data, and the second was these comparison data. And the contrast is stark. In the United States, beverage container litter in states with a deposit return system is about half of what it is in states without. In coastal regions globally as well, deposit countries show about 40% less container litter. In Europe, countries with a DRS have just a fraction, sometimes like a sixth, the level of plastic bottle litter compared to those countries without. So many, many examples, many data points. In total, our global analysis shows about 75% average reduction in plastic bottle litter where DRS is in place. It's a very powerful reminder that the system works and the impact is real, measurable, and fast.
An impact is not just on the environment, is it? It's a bigger picture than that.
Litter is just part of it, absolutely. It's really about resource efficiency and climate impact. So the thing about beverage containers is they are packaging that is consumed extremely quickly and discarded quickly around the world. So people drink on the go and they throw these containers away minutes later. And these containers made from valuable plastic, aluminum, and glass also happen to have some of the highest carbon footprints per unit. So we're talking about a waste stream that's short-lived and high impact. One of the worst combinations. And DRS helps us capture these valuable materials, keep them clean, keep them in circulation, reducing the need to extract and process more carbon-intensive virgin resources like oil or sand and all of the ingredients that would go into those materials in the first place. So it's a huge contributor to climate mitigation and resource efficiency.
As we're recording the podcast, it's the beginning of June. We've got the UN Oceans Conference, UNOC, coming up. We've got INC 5.2. These are big moments in the calendar, I guess. What's your message to people attending that and the decision makers there?
It's a simple message. This is a ready-to-go solution. We're at a point where we know a lot about deposit return in this day and age with this type of packaging that we're dealing with. And we're at a point where governments are negotiating long-term frameworks to stop plastics pollution and packaging pollution. And yet, DRS is already delivering results today. So it's effective, it's scalable, and it's supported by a growing coalition of governments, brands, and environmental experts. If we're serious with all these countries coming together talking about saving the oceans and ending plastic pollution, then we must seriously consider deposit return systems at a national level, because they are a major part of the solution.
One of the things that stands out to me, and it's something that I know we're big on at ReLoop, is measurement. And we talk about that within the report. Why is that so important?
Because how you measure will provide you with the meaningful information on the success of the systems and ultimately getting closer to a more effective solution. See, for far too long, litter has been anecdotal, based on what people see on the beach and in the park. But to design real solutions, we need reliable, consistent, and transparent data. In our work, we've used standardized metrics, things like litter per kilometer, percentage of beverage containers in the litter stream, and per capita figures. And when you track that kind of data for a long period of time before and after DRS is introduced, the results are undeniable. Measurement gives us credibility and accountability, and it ensures that policies are based on facts and not guesswork. In that way, we know we're going to have success.
And one of the things there, I guess, is how we measure by count, by volume, or by weight. I guess that's an important metric as well.
Incredibly important, especially when we're looking at litter. See, each method, count, volume, weight, tells a different story. Count shows frequency. Volume reflects visibility. And weight, which is what I think is most important, is when we talk about environmental impact, especially for plastic. For example, if you're walking along the beach and you see like 10 candy wrappers and 2 plastic bottles, by count, the candy wrappers will dominate. All attention will be on solving the candy wrapper problem. In terms of visibility, space taken up, the beverage containers are far worse. And by weight, they're also much more significant. That plastic will persist longer in the environment. So when it comes to plastics pollution, environmental impact is measured in mass, weight. And that's what scientists and policymakers use to track pollution levels in oceans and ecosystems. So we look at how much plastic mass is being kept out of nature by DRS, not just the number of items. When you look at mass, it paints a different picture. If you look at the top 15 most littered items by count, beverage containers is not a large share of that. When you convert it to weight, beverage container comprises over 75%. So that is a really interesting example of why how we measure is very, very important.
And there's a lot of attention just now on ocean plastic and microplastics that are in our food and water. The reports that we've got here show that deposit return is the silver bullet. It's a system that works. Why isn't everybody doing it, Clarissa?
Well, there are a lot of vested interests that really benefit from status quo. And suffice it to say, nobody wants to take on extra responsibility and extra costs. There are very clear stakeholders that are fighting it, delaying it, and derailing it. They are often the waste management sector that have a vested interest in maintaining their landfills and their incinerators. They are very often retailers that don't want to have to take back beverage containers. I get that. Therefore, that is another very powerful stakeholder. Those are probably two of the biggest ones, but then you might have governments that are not interested in having to do all of the administrative and enforcement work that is also part of a deposit return program. So there are always these counter influences that tend to delay, derail, distract, and prolong the implementation of DRS. But as I said, what we're going to see by 2030, when we look back 20 years from 2030, we are going to see incredible change around the world when it comes to deposit return.
To read the report that we've been discussing or the companion fact sheets, simply visit reloopplatform.org/letter. And remember, you can subscribe or follow to get future episodes of the Reloop Brief.